With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, it's that time of year where we tend to hear a lot of chat and can even be bombarded with information about a range of supplements and vitamins on the market that claim to provide specific health benefits. But it can be confusing to know if we need one or not, like what would be the benefit of a certain product? Can we get everything we need by having a balanced diet? Well, here with me now to cut through the noise and give us the facts is registered dietitian Orla Walsh. Orla, it's great to have you in. I'll actually just get you to pull the mic up close there to you, if that's right.
Perfect. Oh, yeah, sure.
Sorry, we were chatting off air, so I didn't do any of this beforehand. It's so great to have you in, but let's start at the very beginning. Like, what are the most common reasons for taking a supplement or some vitamins?
Well, I suppose common reasons might be misconceptions, mm-hmm. that people think, for example, it's going to boost your immune system, but it can't do that. I suppose people want more energy as well. They just feel like something's missing. Generally, the people who do take vitamins and minerals need them less than the people who aren't taking them.
Okay, that's very, very specific, and I know exactly what you mean by it. Do you think that there's something that we all should be including in our diet to some degree? Like, I mean, yeah. Should we be bringing something into them?
Absolutely. You can't get everything through a very balanced diet.
Yeah.
It is a myth. So everyone should be taking a vitamin D supplement. Generally people need it from around Halloween to March. So Halloween to kind of Paddy's Day sort of time. That said, there's lots of people who need to take it all year round, especially if you're indoors a lot, mm-hmm. wear a lot of SPF, don't go out in the sun much. If you have brown skin, there's lots of caveats there. And certainly older people, pregnant people, you know, there's lots of caveats. That, and I think even though most people know they should be taking vitamin D supplement, very few actually do.
Yeah.
And even if they take it, they might not remember to take it every day. So we have all these issues. And vitamin D is something that, like, the level of deficiency is so high here.
We can see why.
Yes.
We've had a tragic summer. It's very hard. We're all going abroad to try and get our vitamin D. But yeah. It's that habit of getting into taking your vitamins first thing every morning.
It is. It's really challenging. That it sounds really bad. I can't believe I'm admitting this on air. But I got my kids vitamin D jellies and they will remember it. They will always remember the vitamin D jelly. And because of that, I'll remember to take mine and I'll remember to give it to the baby. But if it wasn't for that vitamin D jelly in the morning, like, honestly, they chase it. And I'd say they taste manky. Like, they can't taste good.
But it's the novelty, because they're not supposed to be having
a jelly in the morning. Yeah, absolutely.
Mom, we have to have our jellies. Like, we love to see it if they're this way. Are there signs that people can look out for that might indicate that they need to add a supplement into their diet, or that would be a good thing? Like, would it be feeling tired, fatigued, is there anything around that? Or,
well, I suppose it's important to go to your GP and, like, if you have any signs or symptoms, to tell them about it.
Yeah.
The other thing is that most people would probably require a multivitamin.
Okay.
But that said, around 1 in 86 are at risk of hemochromatosis in Ireland, and you do need your bloods to be checked to see if this is where you have too much iron in your body.
Okay.
So your GP can check your blood, see if you are that person, if you are absorbing and storing too much iron in your body, and therefore a multivitamin would not be a safe thing for you. But for the rest of the people, it's funny, they keep on doing these investigations and bits of research on, are people getting enough iodine or zinc or selenium?
Yeah.
And every time they do the research, there's a significant number of people deficient or just not even remotely meeting their requirements. And another survey came out recently, and honestly, the list was so long that people... So we know that if you were eating a healthy, balanced diet, you could probably just take vitamin D.
Okay.
But, and maybe folic acid if you're female of childbearing age and you could be getting pregnant. But, you know, we just know that people aren't eating a very balanced diet. They're just not.
Yeah, I know. And like, I mean, supplements and vitamins aren't going to, they're not going to take over from that.
No, but they supplement a diet. But honestly, you know, we just know that people aren't following the healthy eating guidelines.
Would you, like, I mean, would you say, in saying that, like, about getting your bloods done, like, should everybody get their bloods done just to get checked?
Yeah, because there's lots of, just say, conditions where you could be an extremely healthy person, exercise, eat well, sleep well, all the rest, But you could have a genetic thing where your body actually, your cholesterol levels are far too high.
Okay.
And that's through no fault of your own. And that's actually higher than people think, around 1 in 250. And you won't know that until you get your bloods checked.
Okay.
So I think it's a good idea. The other thing is that in Italy, they're screening kids for celiac disease, which they're not doing here. And celiac disease, we thought it was about 1% of people, but it's nearly 2% of people have celiac disease. And 75 people are unaware that they have celiac disease.
Oh my God, they're going around in pain.
Well, the interesting thing is about 60% of people with undiagnosed celiac disease will have gut issues. So if you've IBS, you should certainly consider getting checked out. But about 40% don't. But there's a whole heap of other things associated with undiagnosed celiac disease, such as fertility challenges. So again, if you're having especially unexplained fertility challenges, you should get a celiac screen, both partners.
You mentioned there about, like, you know, working out and going to the gym and all that kind of stuff. Do our levels of activity and our physical size, they play a part in all of this?
Yes and no, but not as much as people think. So even when people go, oh, you know, I don't work out that much, I probably don't need as much protein. And actually, when we look at certain things like macronutrients, like protein, we know that you need, it's actually harder to stimulate an inactive person's muscles to grow and repair. So they might actually need more, especially at one sitting. But in terms of activity levels, it just depends on how active you are.
Okay.
So when you say active to me, I work with elite athletes and worked, you know, with athletes leading up to the Rio Olympics, for example. And yes, so we would have them on a supplement protocol like vitamin C and probiotics, especially if they're traveling a lot, certainly vitamin D. And then we know that Irish people aren't good fish eaters, so they're not necessarily getting in enough omega 3. So
it's
then we might consider
wild
that.
When we think about it, like, we live on this island, yet we're just not reared on it.
But I don't get when people say that I don't like fish, considering white fish, oily fish, shellfish, they all taste dramatically different. Some of the fish that you can eat nearly don't have a taste.
Yeah.
So to actually have a bold statement that I don't eat fish, I don't get that. It's like saying I don't, you know, people are very specific. I don't like lamb, for example, but they'll eat beef and they'll eat pork. So it's funny to actually exclude
one of them people who I, like, point blank was like, oh my God, no, ew, I hate fish. And I didn't start eating until I was about 23. And I was my world opened.
Yeah.
I was like, this is amazing. What have we been missing out on this whole time?
And I know the likes of just, say, crab is super posh and stuff like that, but that's such a mild taste.
Yeah.
You know, if you were having a crab linguine, like, you wouldn't
so
really.
Tasty, though.
So it's like my favorite thing. That's why it came to mind. And I'm definitely going to have it this week now after saying it. Now, I do cook it with white wine, but and a lot of garlic, but it is so delicious. Do you know, there's lots actually that you could try that you probably do like. And if people, for example, aren't mad on fish and they go, but what about the breaded fish? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah,
because, and especially with kids, because if you'll eat the likes of fish fingers as a child, you'll probably eat the posher of unbreaded stuff when you're an adult. So it's about growing a taste to it.
And omega-3s are so important for every aspect of our life, for, like, your joints, for your skin. Like, they can do a multitude. But you are right, we are lacking in them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and one thing that people don't like taking an omega-3 supplement is because it gives them heartburn.
Mm.
So take it with a meal and actually store it in the freezer. Take it frozen and see if that helps.
Oh.
So that's my little trick.
That is a good tip.
And it works for a lot of people.
If you think about it, is there an ideal time of the day to be taking supplements? Do we have to be taking them in the morning on an empty stomach before we have our coffees and, like, our breakfast and all that kind of stuff? Or do we have to be taking them with meals?
It depends. So, and it also depends what medications you're taking.
Okay.
But just take iron supplement. 40% of women are at risk of iron deficiency. It's really high. Certainly 1 in 3 pregnant women, and iron supplements are used a lot in pregnancy.
Mm.
But people don't like taking an iron supplement because it constipates them or gives them gut issues. But actually, it's often because people are taking them wrong. And it's not through no fault of their own. Even on the package, it often gets it wrong.
Yeah.
But the likes of iron, you wouldn't take that every day. You would take it every other day. You would take it on an empty stomach with water 30 to 60 minutes before breakfast, tea, or coffee. You would then have to change how you would take it, though, if you're on something like L-troxin for your thyroid. L-troxin hates other supplements, hates other medications, hates other food. You have to take that on its own. So it just, sometimes you do need a registered dietitian to kind of look at it and go, okay, how are we going to work this?
Yeah.
But yeah, with supplements, more often than not, they're grand whenever you take them. But there is some that you're like, no, you're better off taking that at a different time.
At a specific time. Can we overdo it?
Like, yes.
Yeah. What are the signs of that then?
Oh, there are so many. And it's harder to overdo it on the vitamin B and vitamin C supplements, but and much, much easier on the fat soluble supplements. But you would have to really be working hard to overdo it. That said, you know, too much of a good thing does exist. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't take supplements that give you a mega dose of anything, to be honest, unless a healthcare professional has told you to.
What, finally, like, what would be your main piece of advice? I know we've covered a broad spectrum of supplements and vitamins there, but for people who are toying with the idea of going, okay, do you know what? We're in September now. I want to get myself ready for, like, coming into the winter months. I don't want to be getting sick. Mm-hmm. I want to feel my best version of myself. Is it a vitamin D, like, supplement 100%?
Yeah, go to your GP, discuss getting your bloods done. They can check for vitamin B12. They can check iron, particularly ferritin. You want your ferritin, your iron stores to be greater than 30. I can't say that loud enough because people don't get their ferritin checked enough. But ferritin, folic acid, vitamin B12, they might check your vitamin D. But talk to your GP, look at taking a vitamin D supplement for sure.
Okay.
And then if you're not a fish eater, you do need to consider an omega-3.
Amazing stuff, Orla. Thank you so much. I think that made things a lot clearer for myself and for everybody else listening. That was registered dietitian Orla Walsh. Thank you for coming into us again.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after these.
With Laura Fox.
Podcast.